going to continue this series that I began as God began to work in my life involving this situation, the crisis with COVID-19. God really used the verse in my life, Psalm 46, verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God." And it was a difficult day for the psalmist when he penned those words, but he found a reliance in God as God showed himself strong in his life. And that really is the premise of this series. Every message so far I've been preaching on this series, because I just want us to see the God of the Bible and to be able to sing those words from our heart as the hymn writer just sang, "I have nothing to fear, I have nothing to dread, because I'm leaning on the everlasting arms." It's a wonderful, wonderful truth. Deuteronomy chapter 7 in our Bibles. Deuteronomy chapter 7. And we'll begin our reading in verse number 6. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse number 6. The Bible says this, verse 6. "For thou art an holy," verse 7, chapter 7, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6. "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor chose you, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Now therefore, that the Lord thy God, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God," now notice this expression, "the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." With the Lord's help, I want us to look at this idea as we consider "be still and know." Be still, and the thought to be still means to leave the matter with God. Be still and know that God is faithful. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, help us as we look at your word. And Lord, I pray that you would give us understanding. And Lord, may your truth convict us and bring us to a place of trust. Lord, I pray that you would use your word in my life and each of the individuals that hear this message. Lord, we know it's your work. It is you that does this work in our heart. And so, Lord, may we be responsive to what you will do. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. There's no doubt about it. Our world is always changing. I mean, things are never the same. Now, sometimes change brings improvement and it brings growth. And other times, change brings fear and instability. I was born in 1980. I received my first computer when I was about 16 years old when I received my first computer. It was a 386. It didn't have a lot of memory on that computer. I believe that the hard drive at that time was measured in megs, and now we're talking terabytes. It wasn't a large computer, but I mean, I was amazed at what it could do. When I was a child in school, I remember they had these Macs set up. It was when Macs, you know, when Apple, their first round before they started to go downhill, and now, of course, they're uphill again. But they had these computers with games on it, and on these computers, they had these large floppy disks. Do you remember those large floppy disks? I mean, they could barely, in today's terminology, they could barely hold information. I mean, they were so small in what they could hold and the information they could hold. But we would take those large floppy disks and we would slide them in that computer and we would play these games on these. And I remember this 386 computer that I received. It had the 3.5 floppy disks. It would hold 1.4 megs of information on those 3.5, these disks. And from there, it went to CDs. And I believe CDs could hold about 720 megs. So 1.4 megs on these discs to a CD, which could hold now 720 megs. And from there, it went to DVDs, which could hold gigs. And now, you know, we don't even use CDs anymore. We don't even use really DVDs for information anymore. Now we have scan discs or we have flash drives. And incredibly, 520 gigs or 512 gigs to even a terabyte in a handheld device. I mean, technology has changed incredibly since I was a child when I owned that computer, that 386 Windows 3.1. That's what was on that computer. Technology has changed incredibly. I mean, society has changed. I mean, people will say in the old days, a man's word was his bond. And today, a man's word is rarely his bond. You know, our world is filled with marital problems. Video games and rock music has also evolved. Society has changed. Religion has changed. There are many churches, and these churches are attempting to accommodate with less teaching and less doctrine. They don't want to offend people. They want to be politically correct. And so they're changing so that they can meet the needs in their mind. They can be accepted by the masses. You know, changing in churches, changes in churches. And the reality is that all of the things around us, even these last few weeks with COVID-19 and all the changes that we have experienced in our life, and we're so used to the way life is in our idea, we're so used to the way life should be. But think about this, there are countries all over this world that this is probably normal to them. But we see this as an inconvenience. And I would be the first to step up and say it is inconvenient for us. Of all the changes that we see in our world every day, the reality is we serve a God who does not change. This is what the Bible teaches us. God is faithful and God is true. Missionary Hudson Taylor had complete trust in God's faithfulness. In his journal, he penned these words. He wrote this. He said, "Our Heavenly Father is a very experienced one. He knows very well what his children wake up with good appetites every single morning. He sustained 3 million Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years. We do not expect he will send 3 million missionaries to China," he writes, "but if he did, if God sent 3 million missionaries to China, if he did, he would have ample means to sustain all of them. Depend on it," he writes. "God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply." When we consider the truth that God is faithful, we need to understand this important fact that God never changes. Malachi chapter 3 verse 6 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." I am the Lord, I change not. Now in our text in Deuteronomy chapter 7, Moses is reminding us that God is faithful, that God can be trusted. Human nature will fail us. There'll be people in our lives that will let us down. But God will never let us down. This is what Moses is trying to teach us. He's trying to teach us to be still and to know that God is faithful to us. Lamentations chapter 3, Jeremiah is considering the nature of God. And in Lamentations chapter 3, he pens these words. He says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope." Let me think about the nature of God for a moment, Jeremiah writes. And when I think of who God is, don't miss this. Remember, stand still and know that I am God. He says, when I take a moment and think about who God is, I have hope. I have hope. He says in verse 22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. C.H. Spurgeon was walking through an English countryside with one of his good friends one day. And as they were strolling along, the evangelist noticed a barn with a weather vane, and on the roof of that barn and at the top of the vane were these words, God is love. And C.H. Spurgeon almost fell to the ground when he saw those words, and he said to his friend, he says, you know, that those words should never be on that weather vane. He said, weather vanes are changeable, but the love of God is not changeable. And his friend looked at Brother Spurgeon and said, Charles, I think you're reading it wrong. He said, you're misunderstanding the meaning. The sign is indicating an important truth about God. Regardless of the way the wind blows, God is always love. And no matter what is happening in our world today, no matter the crisis, no matter the cries, no matter the difficulties that come, God never changes. He is always the same. No matter the events that are happening in the Middle East, no matter the events that are happening in New York City, no matter the events that are taking place in Italy, no matter the events that are taking place in our own province, Ontario, even the events that take place in our own backyard, it doesn't matter. God is always the same. He doesn't change. He always is the same. He is faithful. There's a story told of three little girls who were enjoying an evening of play, and they started to play games, counting their money. And the purpose of this game was whoever had the most amount of money would be the winner, and they would be crowned queen for the day. The first little girl, she began to count her money, and she came to about 13 cents. The second girl, she started to count her money, and she counted about 14 cents. The third girl, she started to count her money, and she came with 15 cents, even though in her hand she only had 14 cents. And the two other girls demanded that she recount the money. And so she recounted the money, and again she said, well, you know, I have 15 cents. And they said, well, why do you say you have 15 cents when we can see you only have 14 cents? And this is what she said. She said, my father promised me another penny when he comes home from work today. And whatever my father promised me, it's mine at the moment of the promise. Listen, that is the nature of our God right there. He is a God who can be trusted. He is a God who we can look to. And this is the assurance of Moses when he looks to God and when he sees the condition of his people, when he sees the condition of their heart, a backslidden people, he remembers God's nature. God is faithful. And this makes all the difference in Moses' life. I want us to consider some truths tonight, can we? Be still and know that I am faithful. Let's notice number one, he is faithful in his personality. He is faithful in his personality. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9, if you have a pen, you could write these scriptures down and meditate on them later. Isaiah 46, verse 9, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. The very personality of God is that he is reliable. He is reliable. You see, God is truthful. He always keeps his word. Psalm 119 verse 160 says, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Thy word is true. God cannot lie. Everything that God says is truth. And everything that God predicts, we call it prophecy, will come to pass because God is truthful. In fact, his very nature is, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. The reality is God, his nature is truth. Now, if you're driving in your car one day and you come to a sign in the road and the sign says, dangerous curve ahead. You have three choices that you can make. The first choice, which is obvious, is that you could slow down. You could heed that sign, do what it has to say, and you could slow down for your own safety and for the safety of those in the car. The second choice you have is you could ignore that sign, and you could maintain your speed. You could pretend that you never saw it and just keep on going. The third choice that you have is you could defy that sign. You could accelerate. You could go faster. Your response can be the opposite of what it says. Sadly, that is how people treat the Bible today. There are people that will obey the Bible. They'll listen to what God has to say. They'll heed the promises. They'll heed the warnings, the prophecies in the Word of God. There are others that will ignore what the Bible says and they'll just continue their regular speed and go their own way. And there are others who will do the very opposite of what the Bible says. And yet I'm here to tell you that the Word of God is truth. God always keeps His Word. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth. Romans 3 verse 5 says, God forbid, yea, let God be true and every man a liar. The thought there in Romans 3 verse 4 is that God is true and accept truth, God's truth for your life because God's way is the best way. Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 4 says, He is the rock, His work is perfect. For all His ways are judgment. He is a God of truth without iniquity. God is truthful. Friend, listen to me. God is unchangeable. God does not change. We use the Bible word immutable. The immutability of God. God does not change. We read verses that state that I am the Lord, I change not. God is always the same. God is not like a yo-yo up and down. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. But friend, listen to me, God is consistent. You say, well, what do you mean by that? I mean that what is true for someone's life 50 years ago is true for someone's life today. What God has said in His Word that is truth for your life 50, 100 years ago is true for your life today. God is always the same. God is consistent. God is faithful. And so we look at His Word and we are reminded today, we are reminded that God is faithful in His personality and the very nature of God, He is faithful. Number two, if you're taking notes, would you write it down? God is faithful in his provision. God is faithful in His provision. In our text, the Bible says this in verse 8, but because the Lord loved you, and because He would keep the oath which He had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Friend, listen to me. This is important. If you get nothing from my message tonight, would you please understand this? It is God's desire to meet the needs of His people. It is God's desire to meet the needs of His people. When Moses stood before Pharaoh, or when I should say when Moses was going to stand before Pharaoh, he had some concerns. And obviously, I mean, Pharaoh could have his head. to stand before the king in those days with a request like Moses was asking could mean, and probably could mean without God's intervention, death. And fearing Pharaoh was one thing. But when I read the scripture, it seemed that Moses' greatest concern was standing before God's own people. He said, what am I going to tell them? Who am I going to say has told me these things? And God says, when you stand before my people, you tell them that I am has sent you unto them. There's some great power in that word, I am. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the soldiers came in to arrest the Lord Jesus, you know the story, Simon Peter pulled out his sword. He thought that the Lord was going to establish an earthly kingdom, and it was time to fight, and he pulled out that sword, and he started to swing it everywhere. He wasn't very good with the sword, and he chopped off Malchus, the high priest servant's ear, and it dropped to the ground, and Jesus touched that ear, and it became whole. And by the way, if I was with the soldiers that day, I think I'd leave with Jesus. Can you imagine seeing that miracle and still arresting the Son of God? Jesus said to Simon, Simon, if you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. And they said, the soldier said, we're looking for Jesus. Where is Jesus? And he said, I am he. And the Bible says they fell to the ground. There's great significance with that expression, I am. I am. As you study through the New Testament, you see that expression over and over again. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He said, I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. God is the I am. He is the provider. You see, the I am is everything that you need. Your needs are met in Jesus Christ. He meets your physical needs. He is the great physician. I know that we all have various needs in our life, and there are those who have physical needs in their life today. I want to remind you that God is the provider of those physical needs. He said to his disciples, don't worry about food and raiment, for I'll take care of those things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of those provisions will be added unto you. When the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, God gave them manna. God gave them water. God gave them clothing. In fact, their shoes, their sandals never wore out. Why? Because God took care of their needs. The Bible teaches us that God gives to us what we need in our life. He is a faithful God. And friend, I want to remind you that God knows your physical needs tonight. But God doesn't just end with giving us our daily bread. He also meets our emotional needs. In our text here, Moses is reminding God's people and himself that God loves us. God meets those emotional needs that we have. Love is more than just an emotion. It is the action of my will under the direction of God. And I'm glad when we read the Bible, we see over and over again that God, he meets those emotional needs in our life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And we love God today. Why? Because he met the need. He first loved us. I'm glad today that the Lord loves us. And I'm glad that I can stand here tonight and I can proclaim that God loves you. I'm glad that I can show you from the Bible the cross and that Jesus died on the cross to give you life eternal, to meet your needs, your emotional needs and your spiritual needs. I'm glad today the Lord gave himself so that we could have eternal life. I'm glad his compassions fail not. I'm glad his Holy Spirit is there to comfort us in the difficulties of our life. I heard a touching story of a little girl whose mom had died of cancer. And so in the evenings when she went to bed, she'd be afraid. She'd be scared at night. And so she would crawl into bed with her dad, and she would grab her dad's face, and she would say, "Daddy, is your face toward me?" And he would say, "Yes." And she would say, "I can sleep now." I'm glad that God's face is toward us. God doesn't want to see you fail. God doesn't want to see you hurt. The Bible says, this, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love." Listen, God's face is toward us. God loves us. He wants us to succeed. He's the I Am. He's everything that we need. He meets our physical needs. He meets our emotional needs. And of course, he meets our spiritual needs. Our nourishment comes from the Word of God. "Thy Word is settled in heaven. Thy testimonies that thou commanded are righteous and," look at this, "very faithful." God so loved the world. He couldn't just use a verb. He had to use an adverb. He didn't just love the world. He so loved the world. God's Word is not just faithful. No, there has to be emphasis. It is very faithful. God's Word can be trusted. And we're thankful that God meets our spiritual need. I think of the woman at the well. She had a spiritual need. Jesus met that spiritual need. And I'm glad that the Lord meets our needs today. Our physical, emotional, and spiritual needs. I'm glad He is our provider. He is the I Am. He is everything that we need. But thirdly, I want to end with this thought. He is faithful in His promises. How can you end a message on the faithfulness of God without considering the promises of God? The promises of God is the glue that holds our lives together. It is the hope for a better day. The promises of God puts a smile on our face. God is faithful. He is a covenant merciful God. That's what Moses realized. God always keeps His word. God has many promises. I want to just name a couple, just to encourage you tonight. Number one, He keeps His promise. I think of the promise to save. I think of the wonderful promise, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You can't give the gospel to a wrong person because of the promise to save. The Bible says this, that the Lord in Hebrews chapter 7 verse 24, He is an unchangeable priesthood, the Bible says. "Wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, saving, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them." Listen, friend, the Bible says He saveth to the uttermost. You can't give the gospel to the wrong person. You can't be too much of a sinner for the blood of Jesus. Paul says, "I'm the chief of sinners, and Jesus washed my sins away." I am glad. I am happy. I'm excited about the promise to save. I'm glad when I was 10 years old, Jesus washed my sins away. But we don't just see in the Bible the promise to save. We also see the promise to keep us. The Bible says this, "For the which cause I also suffer these things," 2 Timothy 1:12. "Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I believed. Be still and know that I am God. For I know whom I believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day." The Lord, His power not only to save us, His promise not only to save us, but to keep us. And I'm glad as Christians that He has given us a promise to forgive our sins. The Bible says if we confess our sin, He is faithful and He is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Listen, friend, we serve a faithful God today. And our world is changing every day. And I'm sure in your life, you've seen many changes in our world. You've seen changes in your family. You've seen changes in your neighborhood. Our neighbor came to talk to us one time. We live on West Heights Drive. And he said that he had lived in this, the house that he was living in. Our neighbor said that his parents, this was his parents' home, and he had lived there as a boy, and now he bought the house from his parents, and he's lived in this house for his whole life. And he says, I remember as a boy playing street hockey on West Heights Drive. Now, if you know West Heights Drive now, unless you want to die today, it's not a good idea to play street hockey there. But I mean, that's just how much the neighborhood has changed over the years. And we've seen so much change. Sometimes change is good. Sometimes change brings fear. But we've seen a lot of change. But there's one thing that never changes. God never changes. I'm glad God never changes. He's always the same. And friend, we can be still today. And we can know that He is an unchangeable God who is faithful. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your word and the truth that you've given to us. Help us, Lord, to rely on your faithfulness. Meet the needs of your people, I pray.